June 30th, Sunday morning study on alleged Bible contradictions. This will bring to a close. Study of this quarter. Donnie will begin, Lord's willing, next Sunday on various Bible topics. Mark will begin Wednesday, and I'm not sure what subject that he has picked. If someone knows that, I'm sure it will be an interesting and good study. It's been a profitable study for me, and hope for you also. Some things have been difficult when you try to especially explain way that people understand the dual nature, if you will, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he was God's only begotten Son, and also he was the Son of Man. And I pray that I have made the correct applications concerning the scriptures that we have looked at. If you see that I have failed, you think I have misquoted or misapplied a scripture, be sure and point that out, if you will, to me. We got down, as I mentioned, is Christ God or man? And again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. In the previous two topics, we've already looked at this quite extensively, and hopefully you understood the things that was brought out. But it has reference to John 1 and verse 1, but also includes this Hebrews 1 and verse 8. Just simply, Christ is presented in two aspects. His divine nature showing him to be equal with God. His human nature showing him that he took the form of man. In James 1 and verse 13, James there says, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Only being the Son of Man could Christ fully understand the temptations we go through. So he was fully man, he was fully God. He was both God and man. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, a verse that is familiar to us, talks about that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But in all points, so all temptations that we endure, Christ went through those. And it mentions yet he was without sin. Again, just these verses showing not only his divinity, but also his human nature. That was required of him, for his sacrifice wouldn't amount to nothing, that he be tempted in all points, like we are. And the scriptures make that very plain. But to some people that allege the contradiction, they may not understand that as we as God's children understand that. So maybe the problem in such as pointing that out, if you will, to them. But hopefully it's clear in your mind, better than when we begin this study concerning that, and that we all will be able to defend the truth as we are told to do, that we'll defend the truth when these people bring these contradictions up. Does anyone have anything on that? Like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that particular. We dealt with it at least for this makes the third Sunday on that. Is God, or is Christ omnipotent? And of course that means just knowing all things. John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, Blaine.
John what?
John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Drop back to chapter 2.
Oh, I've got the wrong chapter.
Okay. Let's read a few extra scriptures.
Okay, 22:20. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at Passover during the feast, they believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did.
I'll read them now. I just told you our next two verses, 24 and 25.
Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Okay, this applying these two verses to his divinity, The Greek word for knew or know means to understand completely, that Jesus understood man completely through his divinity. He did not need anyone to tell him of man's state or character. He knew man's dispositions. We're told in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus. Again, God knew the secrets of man with man out uttering a word. God knew the secrets of man's minds that we think maybe we can hide those thoughts. It talks about he will judge us by the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, when you look back at John chapter 1 and verse 3, John there deals with the end of the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in verse 3, he states, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so man was made. And so Christ knew the creation concerning man. God knew concerning man, their thoughts, their dispositions, their secrets, all about them. Nothing was hid from them. John chapter 8 and verse 58. Christ there says, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Showing that he is the eternal one from creation. Before Abraham addressed you, before your father Abraham, I was. And so it shows again the divinity of Jesus. This dual nature. In Jeremiah chapter 17. In verse 10, can I read that for us?
How the Lord searched the heart and judged the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of truth.
Okay, the Lord is a searcher of the heart. He knows our heart. Again, we don't have to utter something. If we communicate with one another, we must tell one another about our faults. But we don't have to tell God about our faults. God knows our faults. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. Without anything being said. Why? He's a searcher of the heart. He says, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, by his thoughts, whether good or bad, that we are rewarded according to the fruits of our doing. But it's the mind, that mental aspect of it. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, Cheryl. Knowing, to understand completely. He understood completely their thoughts. He said, why do you think? You're just thinking. You're not speaking. You're not showing action of any sort. But you're thinking, just your thoughts. He knows why. Because he's divine. That's that side of him, if you will. This dual nature, the divinity of Christ. That he knows man's spirit. He knows our thoughts, our intents. He's going to judge those. Even though the world may not judge them, my spouse may not know them, my kids may not know them, God knows them. My thoughts. Any thoughts on that? John 16 and verse 30. Gina. When you look again, bring out context, some of them might, may not be having read the same thing as we looked in John chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. You know all things. He knows all things. When you look at the context here, Christ is having a conversation with his apostles, okay? In verse 16, he says, a little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then in verse 17, then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this he says to us? Well, what did he say to them? Well, a little while you're going to see me, a little while you're not going to see me, then you'll see me. So they did not know the meaning of that. He said, What he's saying is we don't understand this. That's the context of verse 30. That this is what they found out, that Christ knew their thoughts. Okay? When you go on and look on through this in verse 17, again, a little while, he says that he relates his story to them down to verse 29. The disciples said to him, "See, you are speaking now plainly." Now we understand what you're saying in verse 16, because you have spoken plainly to us and we can understand. "And now we're sure that you know all things." Again, the context of this was about their thoughts. They're pondering, what are you talking about? That he understood their minds concerning that what he stated. Not having reference to all things, but that particular subject on that. Because that's the context, if you will, of this.
Sometimes it's easier for us to look at what was said 2,000 years later than being in the moment, you know. Like, you know, when he said to his disciples, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood," we know that's symbolic, but maybe if you were in the moment, you're like, "What does you mean by that?" You know?
Yeah. But again, you know all things in reference to the doubt. Does anybody have anything else to add to that, or does not agree with that?
So I heard something that makes the argument that there's no use to pray. God already knows all things, and he knows your mind. Why do you even pray to him? You know, they bring that question up to
him. Yeah. There's a lot of things, you know, that, well, God knows. Yeah, he knows everything. But that does not require, again, for us not showing action as far as our part of our service to him. That does not eliminate, because God knows our hearts. You know, you probably say, "Well, I really want to be in worship this morning. He knows my heart. I want to be there when I could be there and wouldn't." Again, it's what we must do. Our actions show how we love God and keeping his commandments. We do those things that he has told us to do. So again, he knows all things in this context according to the question that they were pondering, what he's saying. And in part, through that, he said, "Now we know you know all things, because you knew what we were asking." Anything else anyone adds to that? John chapter 21. Mary, can you read through the mask?
I'll try.
21 verse 17. Okay, again, Peter's reply to the question, "Peter, do you love me?" was, "Lord, you know all things." Having reference to what? "I know, you know that I love you." Again, just the context of this verse, that Peter recognized Christ's omnipotence. Again, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Psalms 139. In verse 1. David says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." Again, this idea of the thought, of thoughts and intents that he knows afar off. When we rise, when we sit, he says, "You have searched me and you have known me." 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In verse 9, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intents of the thought. If you seek him, you will be found by him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you down." Again, this idea of thought, that the divine, divinity, understands all about us. Why? John 1, verse 3. Christ created us, so he knows all about us on that. Colossians 2 and verse 3. And Colossians 2 and verse 3, yeah.
In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
When you go back to verse 2, he says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. It talks about in whom, having reference to Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that the Father revealed to him. And Christ made that known to us through the apostles. So he's talking about of whom all the treasures of knowledge, is all knowledge. He has all knowledge. But again, that is limited to what the Father revealed to him. Well, some of the questions go deal with some things that the Father did not reveal to the Son. But what he did reveal, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we have that. All the hidden treasures refers to the mystery of God. When it talks about the knowledge of the mysteries, that which was hidden from creation until God, in the fullness of time, sent his Son to reveal this mystery to us. And Peter deals with that in his writings. So in Christ are all hid the wisdom and knowledge that we have. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. Again, we see further concerning this. Paul says, but those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So it's that which was hid that is now revealed. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Again, this mystery, this knowledge that we have. In chapter 12, in verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So it has reference to this wisdom that was given Christ by the Father. It was called a mystery. To the world, it was called foolishness. And it was given to certain individuals to make this revelation of what this mystery was. And we have this revelation on these written pages that we have. So in that sense, Christ knew all things because of his divinity. Any thoughts on that? Ignorance of things. Again, you're dealing with the dual nature of Christ, the human side and the divine side. And again, the people who come up with these contradictions fail to notice this, that there's Christ is human and Christ is God. So they take these verses thinking that they have come up with a contradiction on that. Teresa, 11 and verse 4 of Mark. 11 and verse 13, excuse me. And I would assume there are points to this that if he was divine, he should have known that there was no fruit there. I was just going over and looking. I assume that's what they're having reference to in this. Again, as God, Christ knew everything. As the Son of Man, he did not. When you look at the verse in Luke chapter 2, it's been brought up before. I can't remember where Donnie, Mark, or Larry, whoever, had a kind of included in the lesson, that Christ grew as a child physically, just like we do. When it talks about in 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Again, this process of growth physically, that his mind developed, his body developed, he developed skills, how to serve. survive in the world just like you and I. He done work. He done hard labor. These things physically that we do, he went through. Again, that was in order that he would be the perfect sacrifice. He endured all things. And it's just not the temptation you and I do, but all things and aspects of this world that you and I do, Christ went through. The jobs, the labor, the weeping, the crying, the rejoicing, the deaths of friends, of loved ones. He endured all this, like we do. Again, that physical side, if you will. Wisdom here meaning skill, human nature. Again, is what this verse is talking about. Mark 13 and verse 32. Carlos, you want to read that? Mark 13 and verse 32. This verse has been often quoted, but of that day and hour, again, some people apply that to the destruction of Jerusalem. Others apply it, if you will, to the end of time. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Again, the Father only. As we mentioned, not all things are revealed to Christ by the Father. There's certain things that was not revealed. Those things that are revealed are for our benefit. All we need to know that there's going to be the end time. We're not told when that's going to be through the Scriptures. Christ sought not to reveal that because I don't believe he knew that the Father revealed that was kept by the Father. When you turn to Acts chapter 1, maybe a similar verse, in verse 7, Christ, in talking to his apostles before his ascension, he said to them, "It is not to you for you to know the times or season which the Father has put up his own authority." Or was it for Christ to know? He said that was put up to his own authority to know these things. So you have those things that are not revealed. So there's certain things that Christ did not know. But only that which the Father gave him for our salvation. Christ showed all the attributes of men. John chapter 1, verses 38 and 39, Jesus turned and seeing them, followed, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Teacher, where are you staying?" So Christ answers them in a human manner when they said, "Where are you staying?" He said, "Come and see." Well, did Christ know where he was staying? Well, sure. But he has the human side. If you and I would say, "Mark, where do you stay or where are you at?" "Well, come and see and I'll show you." That's our human nature, okay? And we need to understand that. Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. And so you have verses that pertain to his human nature and divinity. But divinity was always with him. The human part would end. He showed all the attributes of man, such as we have. If you want to list the attributes that man, that we have, Christ had likewise. Again, it was for the sacrifice that he was to offer. John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that we may eat?" So he asked Philip a question from the human aspect, Where can we buy bread? Verse 6 though says, but this he said to test him, for he knew what he would do. And so this divine side never left Christ. Even though they say, where can we buy bread? He said he tested him because he knew what he was going to do, what he would answer, where he would say he was going to buy it at. And so again, from the human aspect, he asked a question. From the divine aspect, he knew that.
Seal, I think that kind of goes along with why I pray and all that. Just because God asks a question or Christ pretends he doesn't know, it's a way of teaching as well. Those questions are just rhetorical questions more than anything for himself. So what do you think we should do now? And it's more of a teaching moment, like, hey, let's go look at this fig tree. The disciples were looking. It wasn't for Christ to find out if there was figs on the tree. It was for the disciples to learn and to understand his ways. Same with the prayer. It may not be that God or Christ doesn't know what our thoughts are. It's more of us to figure out what we need and us to talk it through with God, not for him to be told. It's more for us to talk it through with ourselves and think about it more deeply than for us telling God what we want or need.
Well, the things that he done, the question he asked Peter, been for their benefit, even though he knew, excuse me on that, in John chapter 11, verse 34, he said concerning Lazarus, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Divinely, Jesus knew where he was at. Again, this is human. Then we see the aspect of his humanity in verse 35, and Jesus wept. Again, these feelings as human that you and I experience each and every day, Jesus had. But the divine part never left him. Okay? Because it's eternal one, from no end and no beginning. It's something that we need to understand when looking at this. Any thoughts? Again, that he was ignorant of some things. He was not, if you will, ignorant. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. The writer there says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It was necessary for him to come like man. That again, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Again, at all points tempted, as we are. He suffered all the hardships common to man. He died as a human being, just like you and I are going to die. He could sympathize with us and have compassion on lost mankind because he knows what we go through. And that was one, if you will, of the things that would have been required of him for his sacrifice upon the cross to be accepted. That he can relate to you and I. As Donnie, I think, has pointed out, he can plead our case to God because he went through the same things as we do. Again, he would not qualify as a high priest if he had not become human. Because if he hadn't went through what we go through, how could he plead to the Father for us? He could not show mercy, compassion, could not sympathize with people in their sorrows, trials, and sufferings, unless he was made like them. And so that was one of the requirements, the physical aspect, for this sacrifice to be acceptable to the Father. But the only difference is, he never experienced sin like you and I. Was free from that. But he went through all the things that lead to sin without sin. we'll stop there. Any questions? Appreciate your attention.